Oh my gosh.
Put your hands together for new Dr. Pepper Blackberry and Dr. Pepper Blackberry Zero Sugar.
There she is! Woo-hoo! Yeah! It's full Dr. Pepper!
With sweet blackberry flavor!
Dr. Pepper Blackberry, I'm obsessed with your succulent taste. Please marry me!
No! Marry me! Marry me, or I'm gonna freak out!
Try new Dr. Pepper Blackberry.
It's a pepper thing!
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 314 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
So I hear through a Starzy flavored grapevine that there might be some new additions
returns. What does Stars grapevine taste like?
I don't know.
Because you said flavor.
Grapevine. I don't know. I've never sucked on one before. So
what have you sucked on?
So I hear we may have some new additions to Outlander season 5, and maybe even a returnee of your favorite kind.
One was not new. It was like it was return. They literally called it a return. Here's the thing. One of them was kind of outed earlier in the year, but it was not official. So I was like, meh, until it's official, it's not official. And that was...
Who is that?
The Beardsley twins. They were unofficially outed as being...
Mentioned?
Yeah. And it's the same picture. Like, it's the same actor.
Oh, I don't remember any actor's face or any actor's names. I just remember the fact that they may have been outed, the fact that they were cast or being included. And I had no idea that it was going to be a single person.
We talked about the fact that it was a single person. We had this whole conversation, and I'm pretty positive you could go back through the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 episodes and find when we talked about it.
Go for it. I will listen if you find it.
Not tonight. I'm about ready to go to bed.
No, go for it anytime. You've got a lot of stuff to do too. So if anyone knows where it's at, I am happy to, because it's not about me thinking I'm right or wrong. I physically don't. I remember talking about it. I remember thinking, oh, well, that's confirmation that we're going to have at least some kind of Beardsley there. Hopefully both, most likely both. But I don't remember talking about it being a single cast for a double, which makes sense. And it's cheap. It is cheaper. And I don't remember if we saw a photo. Not saying there was no photo. I'm saying I don't remember what anyone looked like, and I wouldn't have recognized him.
Well, it looked like this guy. His name is Paul Gorman.
Same dude.
Gorman. He'll be joining the cast as both Josiah and Kezi. Beardsley.
Yay.
And then we also got Bronwyn James was cast as Fanny Beardsley, or as we like to say, Fanny Beardsley, because she had a big old lisp. And this particular actress, I've seen her in a couple of things. She's been in Harlots, which is on Netflix. And then she's also been on Call the Midwife. I watched her in an episode.
Oh. I think I remember her in that. I've definitely seen all the episodes of Call the Midwife. I have not seen all the episodes of Harlots.
And then Chris Donald is returning as Philip Wiley. And when this picture popped up on the feed, I was like, who's that? And then I saw that it said it was Philip Wiley. And I was like, huh? And I made the picture bigger. And I was like, I had no idea that under his...
He cleaned up so well.
It's not even cleaning up. He just washed his face. I don't think that's
or took off his...
I don't know. Took his beauty mark off. Took his wig off. I mean, I don't know. I'm a completely different dude, and I take back a lot of slanderous things. Now, granted, Philip Wiley.
No, you don't.
Philip Wiley is still gross, but.
A douchey.
This actor is not hard on the eyes, man.
He's got a really interesting, I like his really funky haircut. I like it.
Faux hawk.
Yeah, kind of like a big faux hawk or a long faux hawk.
Anywho, and then today, was it today? Yeah, 10 hours ago, there was more casting news. They've cast Isaiah Morton.
I think it's Isaiah, but this is from me. I can't say that. This is from me. Well, maybe we can say that. This is from me listening to Davina. So she's a Brit. So I wouldn't be surprised if they pronounced it Isaiah, but we won't know. But yeah, go ahead. We say Isaiah.
Isaiah Morton.
Like.
And the problem is they posted his Twitter handle. So his first name is John. I don't know if his last name's Tarsi or if I have no idea. Anyway.
Oh yeah. Hold on. Forget. Yeah, I think so. They also posted both of these announcements on Instagram. And I think all of them, but who's the douche canoe?
Pardon?
Who's the douche canoe?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The one you don't like, but you like now.
Philip Wiley?
Yes. Who plays him? Whatever that guy was named. He's the only one out of the two posts. Yeah. Okay. Chris Donald. He's the only one out of both of these sets of announcements who, when announced on Instagram, he does not have an Instagram, or at least they didn't tag him. Everyone else was tagged. And so that guy, Darcy, whatever, he's on there. And that's his last name. Yeah.
And they also cast Lionel and Richard and Alicia Brown. And I think it's Ned.
Davina calls her Alicia.
Lionel, if I'm not mistaken, I know I'm not mistaken. I'm just
careful.
What?
Don't spoil.
This is not a spoiler. The actor who plays Lionel, if I'm not mistaken, was in a TV show, an Australian TV show called Glitch that you can watch on Netflix. You know, you're bored and have some stuff to do. I enjoyed it. It's 3 seasons so far. I don't know if they're going to continue it. It kind of seemed like the last episode of the last season was kind of it, but I fully enjoyed it. And this looks like, I'm almost positive, I'm assuming it's Ned Dennehy. That makes sense to me. And then anyway, Chris Larkin is cast as Richard Brown. And then Alicia, however you want to say it, Anna Burnett was cast in that character. And that's all I got.
I will just say, as I tweeted, or as the pod account tweeted earlier today, I think so. Yeah, today. We got some, without spoiling, but let's just say the Browns we got today, at least Richard and Lionel, we got the Browns in season 6, if they keep them. Well, we don't know what they're going to do for season 6, but we got the Browns in book 6. That's what I can say. I don't want to spoil anything, but ooh, they're interesting characters. I'll say that. They may not be your favorite in a little bit. That's all.
And now on to our read-along. We are going to begin our, or we're going to continue our The Fiery Cross read-along with chapter 53 entitled The Frenchman's Gold.
And we're back to it.
Or do you prefer The Frenchman's Gold?
Nah, the first time was better.
Okay.
Betty's autopsy was barely/not completed. The Dandy and Stephen Bonnet show up to ruin the surprise. A lantern is knocked over and the entire place is up in flames, and Claire escapes with a handful of roogie mush that she's convinced Betty was murdered. Was murdered.
That's not
Does it sound about right? It
That's
actually
not,
is.
I don't remember. They didn't spell that.
No. I did talk about roogies, though. Roogie are the folds of the lining of the stomach. And the mush was the stuff that she kind of scraped off of it in her hand and didn't have a chance to put anywhere until she got away from the burning building, the burning shed. And she put into one of her little glass jars and then washed her hands with alcohol. So I did talk about that. That was in last chapter. So I just call it roogie mush.
Okay.
Okay. So at the end of the last chapter, Jocasta was yelling and both Stanhope and MacDonald had run to the house to see what was the clatter. Well,
are there 8 tiny reindeer?
Well, this is a finding. She was, quote, clad in her chemise, bound. I'm not laughing at you, Jocasta. Bound hand and foot with strips of bed linen and absolutely scarlet face with fury, unquote. So maybe this whole red face fury is not just a Fraser feature, because she ain't a Fraser. Duncan was on the ground. He had a pulse. He'd been hit over the head with a heavy silver candlestick, but he seemed otherwise okay.
Can we just take a minute?
Sure. Roogie mush?
No, I'm just talking about what you just said. It might not be a Fraser thing.
Oh.
It might not be a Fraser. Now, a majority of the Frasers that we're familiar with are also half Mackenzie.
Well, Jamie and my name is Ellen. Sorry. Jamie, yes. What's her name?
Jenny.
Correct. That's true. I see what you're saying. So Jamie and his siblings.
And we didn't really spend a lot of time with Lovett and his Frasers.
That's true.
So you're saying
it actually might be a Mackenzie.
Yes. It might have always been a Mackenzie thing.
Fair enough.
That was it.
That's it. No, that's it. That's interesting. Very, very, very possibly. Meanwhile, Jocasta is freed and she's asking who is there. Remember, she blind. She assures him. I don't know who him is. Maybe the people who came. I don't know. This is what I wrote. She assures him he should be fine. Are you sure? Oh, must be Claire. Claire assures Jocasta Duncan he should be fine. Are you sure? Because what she says then, Jocasta, is I smell the blood of an Englishman.
She didn't say that.
No, she smelled blood, though. It was just of a Scotsman.
I had to listen to this portion of the episode, the chapter twice. Because I was driving and I kind of zoned out for a hot second and I came back to the book when she was like, oh, I started my courses. And then I was like,
what the heck?
I was like, wait, she was just boffing her husband and nobody talked about it being period sex. So I was hella confused.
Oh, summer.
And so I had to rewind it. And then I heard the part where she was like, I didn't want to tell her I was guts deep in her maid. So... thinking on my feet, told her that I had my period, and I was like, okay, it makes sense now. But I had a moment where I was like, what?
So she smelled blood, and that's why she asked about is he okay, because she smelled something. And of course that blood was not Claire's courses. It was the remnants, most likely, of Betty's Roogie Bits.
It wasn't a remnant of that, though. It was just the
it was
that, no it wasn't
it was summer.
She had
it
to cut her whole body open, so it had nothing. It wasn't the rugula fissure, whatever. It wasn't from her stomach nonsense. It was from her cutting her body open, her whole body, not just her stomach.
No, but she had already washed her hands, but she still had, yes, she cut her whole body open, but she still had blood around the edges of her fingernails. That's what she saw.
There's no guarantee that that was specifically from the parts of her stomach lining or whatever the foldy thingies
that were
called.
That's true. Her hands were all over. That's correct. But the thing she ran away with.
Through the chest cavity to get to the stomach area.
Yes.
Which means she might have had to dig through. She fingered. Stop it.
She had to finger a lot of organs.
Stop it. And
anyway.
Touch.
So,
she had to touch.
Whatever, Summer.
Keep it clean. You're making it filthy. Like
Girl,
her fingernails.
You stop it. So she pushly.
What? I have no idea what is happening right now.
She quickly pushes away. I don't know.
She pushly quicked.
Stop. It's not that funny.
I didn't know what you were trying to say. And then once I realized what you'd done, it became a little funny.
She quickly pushes away the attention by using the excuse of it being her courses, which we know is not. Claire lies.
What? Did you just scream Claire lies?
Yes.
Okay. That felt like such a non sequitur. I know it wasn't, but the way you said it made it sound like it was not connected to anything else you just said. So all of a sudden, all I heard was Claire lies, like it was its own special statement.
Then Jamie appears. Jocasta has no idea who it was that hit Duncan over the head. Now, Claire is wondering if Bonnet indeed had gotten away. Was it Bonnet who'd gone into Jocasta's chamber? She communicates that she had discovered something. She communicates, I believe, with Jamie at this point, silently, and she mouths to him the word murder. So she is now a firm believer that she has evidence that Betty was murdered.
This holiday season, maybe it's time to gift the ones you love or yourself with something a little cozier, like bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. And lucky for you, Brooklinen is delivering comfort all season long.
Home of the internet's favorite sheets, Brooklinen's got over 500,000 happy sleepers and counting. Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife Vicky and Rich Fullop, who wanted to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. Their mission, to make you comfortable.
And now they've moved beyond the bedroom to offer essentials for your bathroom, like towels, shower curtains, and bath mats, and even launched ultra-soft loungewear that makes you feel like you never left your bed. And I love that all their super-soft, breathable women's loungewear pants have pockets.
My Brooklinen sheets are so comfy, I don't want to get out of bed. They are smooth, soft, and I love that they go with my bedroom decor and the color scheme that I have. I got a completely white set.
Like softness, comfort, essentials to help you relax, Brooklinen has it all. I couldn't recommend their products more for graduates, newlyweds, friends, or family, or treating yourself to the bedroom upgrade you deserve. Get 10% off and free shipping anytime when you shop at brooklinen.com and use promo code Outlander.
Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. To get 10% off and free shipping, go to brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com and use promo code Outlander.
Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
They get Duncan into bed and Bree steps in for Fedra to help out. At the news that Betty's body had burned.
I don't think you have enough bees there.
An interesting dance of features go over.
No, I need more bees.
Her face goes blank, and then we see, or they see, a look of satisfaction and a tinge of puzzlement. That's interesting. We'll have to maybe don't forget that for too long. She thinks, so there in the room besides the family is, if I'm not mistaken, well, I guess Stanhope left because they don't talk about him leaving. He must have not been there at this point, but McDonald is still there. And she thanks McDonald for his help and sends him off to bed very graciously. After he's sent off and she's assured that no one but family is present, she spills it. She said she had heard more than one man entering the hall, at least two. Only one of them spoke, and she thinks it was because she knew the other, because he stayed away from her. He stayed at the other end of the room, so as not to be recognized, and of course he didn't speak so as not to be recognized, have his voice recognized. But the one who had spoken was a stranger to her, but she says, definitely an Irishman. Well, balls.
I mean, we've already seen an Irishman in the last chapter.
Mm-hmm. He demanded, the Irishman had demanded the gold, and Jocasta was peeved that she had to, peeved, and we're not talking about Bonnet now, or the other dude. Now we're talking about Jocasta now in the moment, as she's retelling this. She's not happy. She knows she has to do it to get to the bottom of what happened, because, you know, they both almost died, or Duncan could have died, she could have been hurt. She's upset that she has to spill her secret, something that she has kept secret for 25 years, the Frenchman's gold. This is the gold that was sent to Scotland just before Culloden, Louis's gold. She asks Brianna to bring her the case that she showed her the day before. It was the case that had the rings in it. She tells of her own escape from Scotland. She'd had three daughters, one from each marriage. Hector had killed, she says, had killed her daughters for the gold. She'd seen the gold when it arrived. Three people knew of the gold: Hector, Dougal, and another masked man. She didn't know who this man was, but knew his servant was Duncan Kerr. Now, pause for a second. Do you guys remember? Do you guys? Well, hopefully, listener, Summer, do you remember who Duncan Kerr was?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, Duncan Kerr, if I'm not mistaken, is the dude who was all spacey. He was ill. I mean, he was ill and old, I think probably old and ill. But he was the man that Jamie
came across. Oh, was he the one who had the story?
Yes.
The one who was, okay, yeah.
Yes. The one whose Jamie was by his bedside before he was rearrested. Yes. Or
John Gray.
Recaptured. Mm-hmm. So that was Duncan Kerr, I believe. So Jocasta and Hector took two, there were six chests, each of the men and their servants, whatever, each took two. She and Hector took two. And this was in March. Remember, Culloden was April 16th. But where to take this gold? As I said, they had decided to split it three ways. The third dude had his mask on. Always. This man was dark, and they don't mean dark skin, of course. They mean like dark haired. He was dark and slender, but strong. And she could tell, or she believed, he was a Highland gentleman. And possibly a Grant. Now, Hector's plan was to hide their gold, their portion of the gold, until there was a chance to give it to the prince. But by this time, the prince was already escaping. He left their gold and Jocasta at home when he went to join the prince and his army. But after Culloden, the next day on the 17th, or maybe late on the date of the 16th, he rode back home. They packed their valuables. The cause was lost. They had to flee. Now, he only took three bars of gold with them. His groom buried the chests in the woods. And the next day, that would be most likely April 18th, they rode for Edinburgh. She wanted Hector to pick up her daughters. Two were within a decent distance of each other. And of course, she still had her young, I think she was 16, her daughter by Hector was with them. But Hector refused to go pick up her daughters. She's like, okay, well then what about warning them? He said, no, there's no time. And because he's a planner, he had booked passage for three people from Edinburgh. So the two of them and their daughter from Edinburgh to the colonies. And she knew she wouldn't see her daughters again, her other two at least. Now, as they're fleeing in the coach, a wheel comes off. And when they stopped to repair it. But it wasn't until almost dark that they were on their way again. And of course, they would. As they are on their way, they run into English soldiers. Now, their plan was to pretend that Hector was an old woman traveling with her daughter, which would have been Jocasta. But the soldiers didn't even wait for her, so either of them, to open their mouths. They dragged Jocasta out. And her daughter, Morna, also jumped out and was grabbed. Hector, meaning to aim for the soldier, fired his pistol. But remember, the soldier or soldiers were holding his daughter. And he hit his daughter in the head. Hector wouldn't even let Jocasta go be with her daughter. He forced her back into the carriage and they drove on. She finds out later that there was a fire at the property where her other daughters were. And they drive on. And her other daughters had either been burned out of their homes in the fire or starved in the aftermath of Culloden with the clearances. Well, clearances happen later. With the rampages, everything that happened after the battle. So Hector had purchased River Run with that gold. They had those three bars of gold. So Jocasta told the two men, the Irishman, Stephen Bonnet, and the mast, or the one who stayed away from her, she told her visitors, quote unquote, that she had no gold, that for all she knew, it was still in the woods in Scotland. Now, someone was approaching the door she could hear. It ended up being Duncan, and the intruders heard it too. The unknown man, about him, she says, quote, all I could tell you from that was that the fellow wore a cap pulled low over his head, and he stank of liquor, as though he'd poured it over himself instead of drinking it. Unquote. And then Duncan had come in and Stephen Bonnet had clubbed him. Bonnet hadn't believed that she had no gold. They threatened to start cutting Duncan up in bits if she didn't tell them. Finally, though, to get them to leave, she told them the gold was buried under the floor of the shed outside the kitchen garden, which was right where
the body was. Autopsy was taking place.
Jamie and Claire and the body. Yeah, exactly. Where the party was.
I don't ever want to be invited to a party like that.
Right where Betty lay. Me either. So she thinks that it was them Jocasta thinks that it was the two dudes, them that caused the fire when their lantern fell in the shed. And she says after that, there was nothing else to do. Everyone, after that, after the telling of the story, there's like, oh, I've told you guys, brought you up to speed. You know, the fire's going to be out pretty soon. Like, Betty was already dead. There's no changing this. Like, there's nothing else for us to do tonight. We need to go to bed. Everyone goes off to go to bed, but Jamie and Claire agree together that the dudes will be back.
So I've thought a lot about this. Maybe not a lot, but I've thought about it a good bit over the last week or so after I've been rereading it. And there's a part of me that thinks they could leave this entire bit out of the show.
Oh, that's it. See, this is not a jibe or any shade at all. I'm truly interested in hearing this because I'm not saying never, but typically when I'm focusing on taking notes about the chapters, we can discuss the things. Yeah, sometimes big things come up and I might say during our conversation, oh, I wonder if they'll, what do you think this will look like? I mean, I'm sure I have and I'm sure I still will, but I don't read typically thinking of what can or can't or should or shouldn't be left out. So I'm glad you say things like that because it kind of brings me back or, you know, makes me think about things in a different way.
I think that the Frenchman's Gold section.
Oh, you think they can leave the gold out?
Yeah. It's encapsulated. It's
such a doodle squirt.
The whole thing's
squirt.
Encapsulated. You know what I mean? It's like a story inside of the larger arc of the season. So they could totally include it. And to be honest, I'd be a little upset if they don't include it just because without this chapter, Jocasta to me is pretty one-dimensional. But I feel like her story and talking about how she traveled from Scotland to the New World and the circumstances under which that it happened, I think just gives her so much more depth as a character. And it would be such a loss to not allow Maria, is it Maria Kennedy? Okay.
Yeah. Maria.
Just because I couldn't remember if it was Marie or Maria. What a loss to, what an underuse of her to not, if they didn't include it. It's such a tragic chapter. Like, you knew going into this from past readings and prior books that she had a little bit of a tragic backstory because you knew none of her children survived. You knew that she'd had children, but none of them were here and none of them survived. You didn't know until this chapter that her youngest was killed by her father. You know what I mean? It's like, and that's awful. Like, there's no great way to lose a child, right? But that's, I honestly don't know how she could have ever stayed with that man after that. You know what I mean? Anyhow, but as I said, I feel like the Frenchman's Gold section of this book is so encapsulated that, I mean, it could be left out. And that was chapter 53. Moving on to chapter 54, entitled Tête-à-Tête with Crumb Cake.
Most people were asleep, but those, the enslaved people, were up and working. Jamie and Claire are out and about. I think it's Jamie. He asks for some fresh crumb cake and a jug of coffee. Claire is tired, yo. They head out toward the stables. And it turns out Roger was there. Jamie and Claire go into the stables and or one of the area and they close the door behind them. Roger had his pistol out. He had Wiley in a straw box or some box there with straw. And Wiley had been hit in the nose and he was pissed off at Jamie. I mean, probably Roger too, but definitely at Jamie. They have questions for Wiley. Now they're going to frog him out, this mouse. So Claire and Roger take the cake and go into the corner just to watch. And Jamie and Wiley are at it. Now, brass tacks, Wiley has no idea who Bonnet is. Outraged, he calls Jamie a see you next Thursday. They scuffle.
It's Tuesday.
But Claire pours coffee.
Unless she meant to call him a comf.
A Thursday starts with the T, although linguistically, yes, the T and the Th are different. So they scuffle, but Claire pours coffee on them. So now it's just Roger in the corner with the cake. I think I like his role best in this scene. Claire is like, I'm done. Y'all better straighten up. Jamie sits down on either the stool or the can, whatever she has or whatever he has. And she has to kick Wiley to get him, kick him with her boots on now, to get him to sit down. And they start talking about what's going on. And they mention, she mentions the word murder, hence murder. Their presence. Huh?
I said murder.
Oh, hence she's telling Wiley, that's the reason why we're in the shed, because Betty was murdered and I was trying to find proof of this. Now we finally learn what Claire had found in her stomach. It had been ground glass. Now, as far as how long it takes for someone to die who had ingested ground glass, it could take quite a while. But Claire can't be sure when the glass was given to her. Wiley says it definitely wasn't him. And he starts to blame the death on Claire, and Jamie shuts him up right quick. By the way, what was the dandy doing there anyway? We still don't know why he had come there. But he does share that he had thought he was being followed, but that once he got to the shed, he was like, all of his attention was to the... It was time to skedaddle. Finally, why had Wiley come to the shed at all? He admits he had come to say a last goodbye to Lucas. But he finds out, or he shares that actually Lucas was gone. Bonnet had ridden off on Lucas. So Wiley, they let Wiley go. And Roger, I don't know, I didn't write down what happened to Roger. Claire and Jamie walk away. They find the carriage shed and they lay down. And they lie down. As they are on their way to sleep, Claire asks Jamie if he trusts his aunt. And he says, as far as I can throw her.
And that was chapter 54, concluding this week's read-along with chapter 55 entitled Deductions, which to me felt like every murder mystery dinner party I ever attended.
Yeah, it was especially not so much the tete-a-tete with crumb cake, but the Jocasta scene in her boudoir, in her booty.
No, I'm talking about Deductions.
Oh, sorry.
This next chapter, 55. It was like they're all sitting around a table and like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Who did this? Who did that? What happened?
And I was saying, what do you think about this? And I think this. And when you get to it, I have something to say about nobody calling Roger out on using terminology that was definitely not of that time period.
Oh, so they sleep, but then they wake and they're hungry and thirsty. They see Fedra, who told them that Jocasta had been looking for Jamie. They go in and find Roger and Bree eating breakfast along with Jocasta and Duncan. Roger had filled everyone else in regarding Wiley and what had happened, what he was doing there, what they did to him. And then she's like, okay, we need to start this from the top. They start with Betty. They mentioned that Lieutenant Wolf had been drunk. They all agreed. And Jocasta brings them back to the point that someone might have been trying to kill Duncan because it was his cup that Betty had found or drunk from. Not only that, it was not only his cup, like the one meant for him, it was legit his cup. Like it had his name on it. It was her gift to him, and it was his alone. Jocasta mentions what happened at the gathering with Father Kenneth. And Claire's all, whoa, 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 wait a second. You think that someone wanted to prevent Jocasta from marrying you, from marrying Duncan? And that they were successful at the gathering, but here, not having prevented the marriage, that they were trying to murder him? But what did that gain the murderer if Duncan died before the wedding? Roger, however, brings it home. He says, or suggests, that because of the priest, and if Duncan were disposed of, or at least, you know, knocked out, then whoever this other person was could have forced a marriage between Jocasta and himself, forced the priest to perform it. So who was it, if this is true? Lily White wasn't there. Wolf was smashed. So unless he were pretending to be smashed. So something that I thought right here, I did not put it down in my notes, was that there's a mention And it could be a red herring, but there's a mention here of, there's a suggestion that Wolf was, everyone agrees that Wolf was smashed, but there's a suggestion that he might have been faking it, right? And then if you remember from two chapters ago, when Jocasta was talking about how one of the people, the silent man who came into her room, was stinking like a drunk, but she said it smelled like it was poured on him and not kind of mm-hmm. coming from him, from within.
So somebody was so
this is like
drunk.
Three. Yeah. So if it to me, it's just like three possible, I mean, two mentions of this drunk. One is Wolf and one is someone that at least smelled like it was soaked in alcohol, but was or could Wolf fake it? That was the question. They didn't know, but they all agree that Wolf was smashed, or at least was acting like it. The thing is, the original dose of whatever she had imbibed, it hadn't killed Betty. But since Duncan wasn't taking any drink and Betty may have drunk it, the killer now, again, you know, this is all conjecture, but they're just talking about, as Summer said, they're going around the room talking about who could have done it. The killer now had to kill the maid because she would be able to ID him.
Yeah, where'd she get the cup from?
Exactly. If the guy, the would-be killer, gave something to Betty to take to Duncan, right? And Duncan mm-hmm. said no, and Betty drunk it and didn't die, then she would be able to say who gave her the cup. So someone would have to have gotten ground glass to her separately. So separate from this initial cup exchange. So, and then another question, how had Bonnet become aware of the gold? Hector would have had to tell someone, or Dougal, or the third man. And she thinks, Jocasta thinks of the man who didn't speak in her room. And she is pretty much assured. She is confident that it was someone that she knew. Someone whose voice she knew. And, quote, who better than the Navy to find a pirate when one's wanted, I? Hmm. So we have a few little links, potential links here, but we'll have to wait, you know, a bit before we find any more out. But in the end, they hadn't gotten what they'd wanted, the two men. But they all agreed that they would be back. Until then, or until we find out more, definitely stay away of... But beware of Wolf, and of course, stay away from Bonnet. The next day, the wee fam leaves for the ridge.
No, we're not there yet. Did you not even notice Roger throwing out a Bob's your uncle?
Yeah.
In the conversation? That was from that. I've looked this phrase up before, and this phrase originates in the 1800s, like the late 1800s. And nobody, so if... If somebody just randomly threw this at the end of a sentence, nobody would. I feel like somebody would have been like,
"Jamie
huh?
may not have, because he could have heard it from others." But yeah, Jocasta should have had a reaction.
I'd have been like, "Who's Bob? I don't have an uncle named Bob." It struck me as really out of place. I mean, it was definitely something that should be in Roger's vernacular, but I feel like somebody would have called him on that because it's so like. Kind of jarring. So I don't know if Diana, if it's an oopsie or if it's a, we're just going to assume nobody noticed it. I don't know. But it totally stuck out to me. Anyway, you can go on to the next day now. That was it.
Well, they leave for the ridge the next day. McDonald, though, had followed and he brings a note from Governor Tryon. Tryon was marching. And he needed Jamie to prepare 30 men to be ready to march in the next month. This is the stuff with Tryon's never ending.
And that was chapter 55, Deductions, and the end of part 5. Join us next week when we will be continuing our The Fiery Cross read-along and beginning part 6, entitled The War of Regulation. Now, because of our abbreviated schedule, getting the read-along done before season 5 begins, we are doing seven chapters next week. We're starting with 56, entitled And Fight Them, Saying They Had Men Enough. 57, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. 58, Happy Birthday to You. 59, Military Engines. 60, Council of War. 61, ultimatums, and 62, stranglers and suspected persons. Now, a lot of these chapters are only like 3 pages long, but we have one 12-pager. But I'm looking forward to digging in and starting the rapid
descent.
I feel like we're almost to the apex, like the middle portion where we're starting to get towards our climax that leads to the end. I mean, we're not done. Trust me. We still have plenty of chapters to go. However, we are starting to, I think we've just about hit the midway point on this one, chapter number wise.
Almost exactly. I think there's 111 and we're bring on 55 now. So just under, 55 and a half would be half.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we're almost 55 and a half. Halfway through the next chapter and we'll be halfway done. And if you'd like to join us to continue the conversation, hop on over to www.outlanderpod.com/group.
And we would love to welcome you as part of our Patreon family. Support content you believe in. Content that is created just for you, dear listener and Outlander fan. Remember, fans of the books, fans of the show, anything and everything, even tangentially related to Scotland. We're here for it. We would really appreciate your support on Patreon. To find out more, go to patreon.com/outlanderpod. Thank you guys so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @outlanderpod.